Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Thursday, August 25th, and you're watching Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. We have a guest on the line right now, but first of all, we have to make a couple quick announcements. Tonight, we want to remind everyone that Eric Huffschmidt is going to appear on George Norrie's Coast to Coast AM. We urge everyone to call into this show. The number is...
The wild card line is 1-818-501-4109. First-time caller line, 1-818-501-4721. And the Eastern U.S. line is 1-800-825-5033. You'll have to get the West Coast line because I didn't write that one down on the website, coasttocoastam.com.
Yeah, and we urge everyone to get on the line tonight, talk about controlled demolition, 9/11 World Trade Center collapse. Also, we're going to appear tonight on Hesham Talawi's Current Issues TV. That's at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Also, next Wednesday, we're going to appear on Veterans View. That's at 4 o'clock p.m. in the afternoon. And last but not least, Friday, September 23rd, we're going to appear with Viz on From the Grassy Knoll. Mm-hmm. Now, on the line, we have Gianni Hayes. She does a show that we listened to last night. We're going to let her tell you a little bit about it. But Gianni, welcome to Wing TV.
Well, I appreciate both of you having me back. I enjoyed it the last time. I will enjoy it this time. And I have to ask your listeners to forgive me for having such a short note, but I'm going to be able to get through it.
Okay. Well, we tuned into your show last night, and don't be afraid to speak up so that everyone can hear you, but you had Ed Klein on, and he wrote this latest best-selling book about Hillary Clinton. And you had him on for 2 hours, and the phone lines were buzzing. You were getting emails from everybody, and it was just a fantastic interview. And tell us your overall impressions of what Ed thinks of Hillary Clinton and what she's going to do in 2008.
Well, I think that Ed has a fairly negative image of Hillary. The reason I say this, done so much research on her. Spent 5 years researching this woman, talking to other women who knew her, went to school with her, as well as talking to people in politics. He said in his own words, she will go to any length to get what she wants. And that's been repeated throughout the book by other people who know her.
Right.
Right.
And that includes running for the presidency.
Right. In fact, one woman came on, called into your show last night and said that Hillary Clinton is fully the most dangerous woman in America today. I would say I have to agree with her.
Yeah. And the best part was when you said to her, would you please repeat that?
So, yeah.
You know, she said again, Hillary Clinton is the most dangerous woman in America.
And you know what, Gianni, after that woman from New York called in last night, the Real Player server kept cutting out because the server was full.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's a very good sign.
I know I got all kind of emails today, people saying they tried to call in and they couldn't get in. And,
yeah.
You know, yep. But this guy, he comes as a very respectable reporter, having
right.
been the editor for the New York Times. And, you know, he's written for some of the same big magazines I have written for, mm-hmm. which is Parade. So he knows his journalism. Knows how to get facts. He knows how to write without being biased, or mm-hmm. how to write without swaying readers one way or the other. The problem was when he was interviewing for the Hillary book, he was not getting enough good comments on her to even make him want to change it.
Yeah. Well, I don't think there's a whole lot good to say about her. And before we go on, Johnny, tell everyone how they can listen to your show and where they can find it.
Okay, my show is on Wednesday nights. It's now been changed from 9 to 10 p.m. To 8 p.m. to 10 p.m.
Okay.
Because a sponsor in South Africa liked the show, so he offered to sponsor it for 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be found at www.theamericanvoice.com.
Okay.
That's www.theamericanvoice.com.
I know that he received quite a bit of negative media attention for putting this book out based on pressure from the Clinton camp, but that actually helped make his book rise on the bestseller list, didn't it?
Well, it certainly did. You know, the thing is, with Ed's book, they're going somewhere anyway because of all the influence and all the people he knows in journalism. So there was no doubt in my mind it was going to become a bestseller. And having written The Kennedy Curse and some of the other books, people know his writing style is legit and good, and they were a good read. It didn't take me long to get this book. It's very smooth.
Yeah, we read it too.
Yeah, when you said that last night, we agreed completely, because once you pick that book up, you can't put it down. You just turn page after page, and it just, I mean, we both read it in one day. So, Gianni, we just want to thank you for coming on. It's theamericanvoice.com every Wednesday night from 8 to 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
And that was really an excellent interview last night, Gianni.
So keep up the great work, okay?
Well, thank you both, Ethan and Victor. Let's stay in touch.
Okay, we will for sure. Take care, Gianni.
All right, have a good day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, we sat and listened to that interview last night for the whole duration of it, 8 to 10 p.m. And I called in, and I was talking about not only the Dixie Mafia, but also the illegal crimes that Bill Clinton was involved in. And if anybody wants to bring Bill and Hillary down, the three things they have to look at is the murder. And, you know, I didn't say the suicide, the murder of Vince Foster, the murder of Ron Brown, where we had a guest on our show before talking about the hole, the gunshot hole in the top of his head, and also the illegal drug running operation at MENA Airport out in Arkansas.
He was a very, very intriguing person to listen to, and you get a really good sense of the kind of person Hillary Clinton is, that there is nothing she will stop at to get what she wants.
Yeah, and this Dixie Mafia, what it boils down to is that Bill Clinton is like this godfather. Mm-hmm. He's the head of this organized crime syndicate, and one of the callers in that show last night mentioned that Bill Clinton works for George Bush Sr., and we couldn't agree with that sentiment more, because George Bush is even higher on this organized crime syndicate, and they've been pretty much in joint operation.
They're pretty chummy now, too.
Yeah, for about the last 25 years, because when Bush was running the Iran-Contra affair out of the vice president's office, they were running all the drugs into MENA, where Bill Clinton was the governor. Mm-hmm. And now they're best friends, as Lisa said. They're on this tsunami relief effort. Uh-huh. And they're golfing together, personal appearances together. And the one thing that boggled my mind last night, though, Lisa, was how many people still get wrapped up in this Republican-Democrat paradigm, you know, where they're talking about, well, the Republicans this, and, you know, what we have to understand is that they're all on the same team, the Republicans and Democrats.
That's one thing that Klein's, he fell just short of saying that they're actually all working under the same umbrella for the same people.
Yeah.
He didn't want to really commit to saying that.
Yeah, because then that gets, I think, at least from his perspective, too far into conspiracy theory. But when you ask, well, why aren't people like Rick Santorum or Trent Lott or something, why aren't they going out and bashing Hillary? Why are they kissing her butt?
Yeah.
Well, they're all on the same team. They all work together. And even though superficially they may be different, they all operate under the same umbrella.
I think Klein said they pussyfoot with her. They play footsie with her in the Senate.
Yeah. Well, on this week's edition of Time Magazine, you have a big article, 3-4-page article, about Hillary and Newt Gingrich, you know, appearing together. And they're saying, is this going to be the ticket for 2008? If it is, God forbid, because that's putting America in a whole load of trouble.
Hillary is a master chameleon.
Yeah.
So she'll be whatever she needs to be to get where she wants to go.
Yeah.
Okay. Representatives of various Palestinian groups in the Gaza Strip are accusing Israeli settlers and the IDF of planting toxic materials underneath the rubble of these settlements they've evacuated this past week. And so Palestinians are being urged to stay away from the area until it gets cleaned up. And I guess this is being done, they say, to keep the Palestinians from being able to use the land. And they're also accusing them of stealing water and sand, of all things. Sand? What are they going to do with that?
Yeah, very interesting. Now, since we're talking about Hillary, I want to mention again this woman. The first hurdle Hillary actually has is next year, 2006, for her senatorial race. She hasn't committed yet whether she's even going to run or not, but her opponent looks like it's going to be a woman named Jeanine Pirro. She's a district attorney in Westchester County in New York. And the funny thing is there's not much to distinguish between her and Hillary, at least on the issues. Pirro's pro-choice, pro-gun control, pro-immigration, pro-affirmative action, pro-civil unions, And she's a woman. Now, they're saying that these two women are probably going to have to each raise $40 million for this campaign. And even though a lot of people like Jeanine Pirro's style, in her first public appearance, when she came on live TV, she was reading a speech, and it looked like page 10 got lost. So here she is on live television, and for 32 seconds, there was nothing but dead air. And she fumbled to find this page 10. Instead of ad-libbing, she just fumbled, and it was very, very uncomfortable, and it's not a good way to come out of the gate. So her name is Jeanine Pirro. Keep an eye on her.
Get it together, Jeanine.
Yeah.
Yesterday, Bush addressed the Veterans of Foreign Affairs National Foreign Wars National Convention in Utah, saying we've lost 1,864 members of our armed forces in Operation Iraqi Freedom and 223 in Operation Enduring Freedom. He says we'll finish the task that they gave their lives for. Why doesn't he just call it what it is, Operation Death and Destruction? Why do they have to give these, like, fake, inspiring names?
Well, here's a little bit of trivia, and I'm sure a lot of people know this, but this operation was initially called Operation Iraqi Liberation, OIL,
yeah,
oil.
Yeah, they liberate them through death.
Well, OIL, oil, but then when they started to think about it, they're like, well, everyone calls this a war for oil anyway, so maybe we better change the acronym so it doesn't come up with that. Now, we mentioned Eric Hupschman. He's going to be on George Norrie's Coast to Coast AM tonight. I think it starts at 1 o'clock Eastern time, but check their website. But Eric came out with an article a few months ago. It was called Axis of Perverts. And what he does briefly in this article is say that, do you ever wonder how our politicians and the members of our mass media are controlled? Well, he says, what if they get all kinds of dirt on them, especially of a sexual nature? And that's how they control them.
They compromise them.
Right, they compromise them. And good examples would be Bill O'Reilly and also Dick Morris.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these two guys.
Sucker.
Yeah, these two guys got too big for their britches in the recent past. So what they do is they come out with scandals on them. Bill O'Reilly was using an object on himself. He has his loofah obsession. He also likes phone sex. When it comes to Dick Morris, he likes prostitutes and sucking toes. So what they do is they lambaste them with this information and then draw them back in and say, now, if you want something worse to come out, possibly even prison, well, then don't follow our rules. So what they do is they set an example for everyone else and say, if you don't do what we say, this is what happens to you. So check out, go to Eric's website and find this article. It's very eye-opening.
Halliburton, once again, strikes again. A former employee of Halliburton has admitted to taking $110,300 in bribes from an Iraqi firm that it awarded a U.S. contract to. The former employee faces up to 20 years in jail and $1.25 million in a fine. Now, the Iraqi-related U.S. government contracts have raked in more than $9 billion for Halliburton, as if they're not making enough money off this war as it is.
Billion with a B, huh?
The spokesperson for Halliburton says that the company doesn't tolerate this type of behavior at any level of the company. No, what they don't tolerate is getting caught.
Yeah.
That's what they don't tolerate.
That's the big no-no. Now, as we reported yesterday on the Wing TV homepage in our news updates, orders for U.S. factories dropped last month, the biggest drop in 18 months, in a year and a half. And on the other side of the coin, though, the housing boom is still going rampantly. Mm-hmm. Hopefully next Friday we're going to have a guest on, and it's not confirmed yet, but we're going to talk about all of these economic issues. He has a great insight to all of these things. And it's very strange that all our jobs are going overseas, yet more and more houses are being built. I know in this area 6,000 new homes are being built right now. So something doesn't add up. How can we be losing our high-paying jobs, yet everyone's able to afford a house? If you go into a bank and just sign your name on the dotted line, they'll give you the money. So we're going to find out more about it next week, hopefully.
Cindy Sheens returned to Crawford after nearly a week with her ailing mother, and I guess when she returned to Crawford, Victor, there were pro-Bush protesters there, not with Mike Gallagher this time. And so now you have these two opposing forces clashing. And these anti-Bush protesters plan to follow him around the country in upcoming months to try to generate more nationwide sentiment against the war. So it looks like Bush has woven quite a tangled web for himself.
Well, the web is, and this is, I think, being done deliberately, is on, you have three fronts where Bush is failing miserably, and he doesn't seem to be doing anything about it, almost as if it's by plan. The first is this disastrous debacle in Iraq. The second is the skyrocketing gasoline prices. And the third is the porous border. I shouldn't even say porous, the wide open border, where tons and tons of illegal aliens are coming through on a daily basis. And here's a joke that Jay Leno told a couple nights ago. He said, in a recent survey, it was discovered that 40% of all Mexicans would rather live in America. And then he says, well, what about the other 60%? Well, they're already here.
Yeah.
So just open the doors up, let everybody come in.
Those of you who've listened to this show before know how we feel about Ann Coulter. Mm-hmm. She's a rabid neocon viper. She had this to say in a recent column. The savages have declared war, and it's far preferable to fight them in the streets of Baghdad than in the streets of New York, where the residents would immediately surrender. Listen, yeah. Ann, you go walk around in the middle of the night in New York and see what happens to you. By the way, I would like to see Ann's level of courage, too. I would like to see Ann go and enlist and go fight in this war that she's so gung-ho for.
Yeah. Well, I have a good little Ann
Instead
Coulter...
Instead of running her mouth.
Yeah, I have a good Ann Coulter story. I went and saw her speak last year with a Wing TV movie reviewer named Ellen Kirkpatrick, and I took some of my books there to give to her. They were in a manila envelope. Well, we were sitting in like the fourth row, and during Ann's speech towards the end of it, I went up and just walked and set the manila envelope on the podium in front of her, and the look of horror that came across her face was so unbelievable that she thought it was a bomb or some kind of explosive.
What's the matter, Ann? And aren't you like gutsy?
Yeah, and so she got so uncomfortable that she finally had to call somebody down and pick up this envelope and take it back behind the stage, and they were walking like...
It's so insulting for her to say something like that about New Yorkers.
Yeah, she's basically saying New Yorkers are cowards, that they wouldn't fight in the streets. And I'd like to see Ann Coulter on the streets with someone that's from New York.
Why don't you meet me on the street in New York?
And we'll see which one is.
I've never seen a New Yorker back down from anything on the street.
Yeah. Now, Michael Chosadovsky, he's a professor in Canada. He's also a 9/11 researcher. He's coming under attack recently from the B'nai B'rith, and they're criticizing him because they're saying that his website is now anti-Semitic. Now, people are asking, well, what kind of material would be considered anti-Semitic? And the answer is, well, they say that he's saying that Israel had foreknowledge or involvement in 9/11. So criticizing a state now makes him anti-Semitic. Also, Kurt Nimmo, who's one of the best bloggers out there, is taking crap from Alexander Coburn. And Coburn doesn't like Nimmo saying that a company named Odigo, instant messaging service, who comes out of Israel again, sent messages to all their employees a couple hours before the 9/11 terrorist attacks and let them know that it was going to happen. So what he's trying to do is get this information taken out of the public forum, and it amazes me how much censorship is existing right now in the alternative media.
Looks like insiders are speaking out more and more about Bush's outbursts. He's becoming more and more bitter due to this mounting opposition to his little war in Iraq, and he's got a real potty mouth, this president. President Potty Mouth. I'm not, regarding Cindy Sheehan, he told aides, I'm not meeting with that G-damned bitch. Then he said she could go to hell as far as he's concerned. And then he had some stuff to say about the veterans of foreign war members who were opposing him and who wore the bullshit protectors over their ears. He said, tell those VFW a-holes that I'll never speak to them again if they can't keep their members under control. Yeah. And he says also that he will do what he g-damn pleases because he's the president.
Oh, there you go. We know. Now, across the sea in England, it seems they have a massive problem with illegal immigration. the people over there are saying that the illegal aliens are coming in there. They have no, they're not trying to assimilate whatsoever. They're not trying to learn the language. They don't even like their country. And what they're trying to do is shape or form England into their own country.
Wow, it sounds like just what's happening
yeah.
here.
Does it sound familiar?
Yeah.
Yeah. A couple last things. 2,000 more troops have been sent over to Iraq. And the war just keeps escalating.
Sadly,
it becomes more and more of a mess.
They're not the family members of our congressmen, unfortunately.
Yeah. So tonight now, everybody, we've been getting emails from people that are going down to Crawford, Texas this weekend. And I've been noticing, our email is a pretty good gauge of how things are going. And more people are becoming involved. For all those people going to Crawford this weekend, thumbs up to you. Let your voices be heard. And also, let the Wing TV people come out tonight. Call up George Norrie.
Right.
Eric Hupfman's going to be on. Talk about controlled demolition. Ask why more people aren't talking about this and make it an issue. George Norrie has the biggest overnight listening audience in the country.
That's right.
Let your voices be heard. I know Lisa's going to try to call
in. Yeah, I'm going to stay up and listen. Load those phone lines up.
And give us your thoughts tonight about his appearance. We'll talk about it tomorrow. Until then, keep your eyes open because there is a lot going on.
See you then.